Chapter 5, Sooner Than You Think. A few years ago, a Chicago news station reported a local skydiving incident. The video showed the skydivers jumping out and maneuvering into position from the vantage point of the open door of the plane. While still filming, the cameraman made his jump. Within seconds, the camera was jerking wildly up and down and side to side as it plummeted to the ground. Reaching for his ripcord, the terrified diver discovered that in his excitement he had forgotten to put on his parachute. The black, silent end of that video clip was the tragic reminder of the suddenness of death. The day of your death will arrive right in the middle of your plans. Those skydivers plan to have a great experience, to celebrate, and to go home to sleep. But God had other plans for them. He may have other plans for you as well. God warns the overly confident planner through the author James in chapter 4, 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James states two absolutes that must be considered whenever you make plans. The first is this: you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. A friend of mine got up one morning to ride his all-terrain vehicle prior to breakfast. Most likely his coffee was still brewing when the ambulance came to take his dead body away. He had plans, but he did not know the future. The second inescapable fact, James notes, is that your life is just a vapor, that warm, moist release of air out of your mouth on a cold day. It is there, and then it is not. Whether your life is a shorter or a longer, it is still only a nanosecond in terms of eternity. At our family reunion, I noticed my boys playing around the exposed roots of century-old trees in front of the farmhouse. I thought to myself, I used to play on those same roots. I also remembered how my aunts and uncles seemed so ancient to me when I was a boy. But then I calculated, I'm the very age they were, and most of them are dead. Life moves by very quickly. The above facts create an understandable fear for any person who will seriously contemplate them. But wait a minute. There is another fact that James brings to the table, and this fact completely overwhelms the first two. Simply put, it is this: whatever happens is entirely up to God. It is true that we are prone to say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. But God says that we ought to say something very different. Instead, James says, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. In other words, it is up to God whether we live or die. And it is up to God whether we do this or do that. If we fail to say, and of course believe, the phrase, if the Lord wills, then all our planning is just boasting and bragging about something over which we have no control. Worse yet, such planning without recognizing the sovereignty of God is sin, as James goes on to say. I don't believe that we have to wear out the phrase every time we speak about the future. But the sentiment must certainly be there, and what you believe, you do speak. In the famous novel, Kidnapped, the young hero is being chased by brigands in a crumbling old castle. He makes his way up the stairs in the blackness, one step at a time. Yet we can see what the hero cannot. The next step he plans to take is not there. Is your next step there? And if you die, are you ready for what follows? The Scripture says in Hebrews 9, man is destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. Plan as you will, you will avoid neither. In the light of the certainty of death and the uncertainty of life, doesn't it make sense to put your trust in Christ, who is called the rock of my salvation? In 2001, when race car driver Dale Earnhardt made his last turn around the Daytona 500, did he know he would be in an accident that would take his life? Will you? Where will you be when you die? Will you be in a hospital room? On a sports field? Pinned in a car? Will a sign come out of heaven stating, "This is the moment of your death"? One thing is sure. That time will come, and sooner than you think. A relationship with God through faith or trust in Christ, which the Bible calls believing in Christ, is the answer to the insecurity of our earthly life. You must be able to live even if you die, and you must have a life after death that will never end. Christ provides both. Remember that Jesus said, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die."